Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hi, everyone. How are you? I'm Patricia. I am a host here on Transformational Talk Radio. You might have caught my show, Divine Guidance with Patricia. And I'm sitting here so excited and so humbled to fill in for Dr. Pat while she's not here. And I just wanted to say for all the listeners of Dr. Pat, I'm not sure if you're aware, this is her 11th year of her show, and what an achievement. And it's an honor to work with this lady. She has the dream of bringing forward a platform for everyone to be able to share their message and their voice. And without it, I don't think I would be sitting here. And especially with the team, all the support, all the caring, and all the expertise that they provide, somebody starting out. So thank you very much, Dr. Pat, for allowing me to have this honor. I appreciate it. And much love to you. I'm sitting here also very excited. It's a wonder I'm not tied to my chair. I have a very wonderful guest, Brian Francis, with me today. He's from New Brunswick, Canada. Brian is Mi'kmaq, and Brian is a producer who has worked in publisher of a book and works with production of music. There's a lot of creativity and beautiful energy with this person sitting here today. He's worked with APTN, he's worked with CBC, he's done a lot of work with documentaries with National Film Board of Canada. He's worked with groups like Eagle Feather, a youth group, bringing them all the way from nobody really knowing them all the way up to Juno stage. So some major accomplishments, a very humble man, and I probably made him blush too much. So what I'm going to do is say, hi, Brian, welcome to the show. So glad to have you.
Hello, Pat. It's very nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
It's always good to sit and chat with people that you can appreciate and that you can grow from and learn with. So I'm happy to do this today with you. So, Brian, I've taken a look. I've never met you in person, but you are a friend on Facebook. And I watched as you progress with these photographs that you took yourself and the words you would put with them. And I thought, you know what? That's really awesome. And it gave a lot of good daily inspiration to a lot of people that follow and you know, are attracted to your words, because your words are very humbling but very powerful. And that reaches people. So when I saw that you had written this book, I was like, wow, I really need to get in touch with Brian. And the book is called Between Two Worlds. Mm-hmm. And would you like to give us an idea of how this book came to be, Brian?
Well, I guess if it wasn't for this pandemic, I don't think the book would be a reality. But I don't know how far back I should go, but I guess ever since social media came on board, I always tried to find a positive way to utilize it, I guess. Utilize it as a tool, as a learning tool or a teaching tool, if you will. And at the time I was a commercial fisherman, and we would go out to the ocean every morning at 5 o'clock, and I would see these glorious sunrises every morning. And I started taking pictures of them. And then when I would return home, I would post them on social media. And people really, really resonated with the images. And even though it's the same sun every morning, it's different. For some reason, the images come different, you know? So it's like it's always changing, I guess. Every second it's different. And after a while, I started utilizing those images to share some of my teachings and my native spirituality. And when I started putting those two together, I think it created some sort of a special way to reach people, I guess, because after I started doing that, people would inbox me and say how much they needed to hear the words that I had shared or the images, what emotions that they evoked. And I just kept doing it. It almost became like a daily ritual. People started expecting it after a while. And so I did that for a number of years, and I felt that it sort of became a responsibility to the people. I don't want to say listeners, but the people that
connected,
visited my Facebook profile, I guess. And a lot of times people would say you should save these words and images because they're very special. And I never thought nothing of it, really, because I just share, you know, I share what I know. I'll give you what I have, and I'm like, oh, that's just the way it is. And so finally last winter, I guess, a friend of mine said that the universe is ready for your words and your images. And and I thought about it, and I said maybe it is time for me to try to come up with something. And so basically we started selecting the quotes and the spiritual writings, and tried to coordinate them with an adequate photograph that would resonate with people, or that it would kind of match the words. And so we did that, and it took us from April till November, and then the book came out in December. So it was out for Christmas, and the response was truly amazing. I couldn't believe the response from people, the support, the words of encouragement, the testimonials that people gave afterwards, that when they received the book. So it's really humbling for me to know that my words and my images and something that I had put together would reach such a vast audience, I guess.
Well, I spoke to a couple people that know you quite well. Excuse me, who said that. Brian said, I thought only 25 people or my friends would buy my book, and that would be it. I think a lot more people have discovered your book and have latched onto it. It's amazing what you shared there about the sunrise. I live about 2 minutes from the Bay of Fundy, and I very seldom go down to see the sunrise or the sunset. And your book allowed me to have that reignite in my being, because the canvas every day is beautiful and brand new. I thank you, even though it's very difficult sometimes when you're humble to actually take the action to, it's like myself with my show, who wants to hear me talk, right? So, but here I am, because I'm being pushed by my spirit, my passion to do it. So it's not only your words that are in this book, it's your spirit's words and the spirit of the ancestors, the spirit of the youth to come. You can feel it all in your book. So I'm really glad that you took that step. You've been doing a lot of things behind the scenes for a lot of people for a very long time. And I realized that your dad was very, very a predominant person in the Mi'kmaq culture and with world leaders and with government. And that strength, just, I can feel that in your being when you share your words. And your whole family is involved in a lot of things. They're very active. Would you like to share a little bit about that with us?
Well, maybe first of all, I'd like to say that I was born and raised in Osibuktuk, which is formerly known as Big Cove. It's a First Nations community. And right now we probably have about 3,500 people on the reserve. Growing up, I had, there was 10 siblings and my parents. My mother's still alive. She's 96 years old, 97. She just turned 97. So it was looking back, it wasn't easy growing up, but at the time we didn't know that it wasn't, we just thought it was normal. You know, we would share bikes in the springtime, and we would chop wood and bring it in, and go fetch a pail of water and bring it in. And it was that kind of a life growing up. My father was an incredible man. He was, he was a pioneer in many ways. Early on in his life, he would have to leave the community and try to earn a living. And he would find work in the woods, and sometimes they would hop trains to go to Maine, and then they would find work there in the mills, and then try to bring home a little bit of money. After he passed, one of my aunts shared a story that I never heard before, where he had just recently been married, and he and his, a friend from Nova Scotia, hopped on a train to go to Maine, and they were like hobos, I guess. They hopped on a train and they jumped off whenever they needed to. And she was saying a story that around that time, his parents, my grandparents, were very poor. And there was times, like there was no fine china or anything like that. And they would use these tobacco tin covers for plates at times. And whatever they had to do, they did. So when my dad found a job in Maine, first thing he did after his pay was to get my grandmother some china, some wow. four plates, I think it was. And he put them away, and but he got a call or a telegram or something at the time, saying that his mother was ill. So he had to go back home. And so his friend came with him, and she was telling us that what they had to do was they were going to jump off the train, but he was scared to break the plates. So he had his friend, who was more experienced in jumping off trains, to stuff his jacket with the plates, and then he would jump off the train so that plates wouldn't break. Anyway, I thought that was a very, very inspiring story. It was a moving story for me because I realized that this is my lineage. This is who I am, and this is where I come from. Later on, he discovered, not long after, that he had contracted TB, tuberculosis.
Wow.
And he was sent to a sanatorium in River Glade, New Brunswick. And he was telling us at the time that you were basically sent there to go die, because there was no very, very little chance for anybody to survive. And he went through, they had one of his lungs removed. And at the time it was a very crude procedure, apparently. Mm-hmm. And he said he laid in bed for 2 years, couldn't move. But he asked a nurse to open the window just a little bit. And he said, because of that, he could tell what season it was, what time of the year it was. And that little crack in the window just kind of kept him going to inspire hope in him that he would one day get out there. And he did. After 2 years, he was able to leave, but he could no longer do strenuous work. So after he started reading, and he read a lot of old periodicals, old government papers, started learning about the treaties and the concept of treaties and what they were. And in the 60s, my grandfather was charged for illegal fishing. My father basically utilized the knowledge that he had acquired from reading and presented a case to the Crown saying that that the Mi'kmaq people had special treaties with the British Crown, and that the indigenous people had the right to hunt, fish, and gather, because these were agreements made during colonial times, and that the British Crown promised that in exchange for the use of your land and resources, that we will compensate you, and that these rights are now entrenched in the treaties. As history has happened and things transpired, that part of the agreement was never honored. But eventually, my grandfather was basically found guilty because there had been no precedent set utilizing the treaties as a defense. Mm-hmm. That only happened in 1999 with the Donald Marshall case, mm-hmm. which everybody is familiar with, that the Supreme Court of Canada recognized and affirmed that the Mi'kmaq indeed had the right to hunt, fish, and gather based on the treaty signed by the British Crown. And so now, since that time, the Mi'kmaq people have been able to participate in a commercial fishing industry. So he was instrumental in that. He became the president of the Union of New Brunswick Indians in the 70s, and he remained president for about 15 years, I think, until he retired. So although he couldn't use, he couldn't make a living physically, he adapted to using his brain and his intellect to make a living. And that's
and his heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to, thank you for sharing that about your dad. We're going to take our first break. We're not going to take too many breaks today, but during the break, you'll be able to have information on how and where to get Brian Francis's book, Between Two Worlds. We'll take a 2-minute break and we'll be right back. Thank you.
Are you feeling the complexity of life? Do you feel that urge to step into something greater? Tune in to Nailed It Radio. Find your simplicity within your complexity with me, life coach Carrie Nail. Tune in each month on transformationtalkradio.com to discover what it means to use your full power to be the best version of yourself. Imagine stepping into the energy of saying yes to yourself and knowing you nailed it. For more information about me, visit carrienail.com.
Imagine starting your week off with a teaching, a clearing, and an activation direct from the God consciousness. If you would like to feel more in charge of your week ahead, then I personally invite you to join me, Tracy L. Clark, for our monthly Soul Sunday non-denominational service at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, online or in person. All donations for this event go to the TLC Initiative Fund to help those in need. Sign up now at TracyLClark.com and let's connect together in the glory realm.
Welcome to Soul Activation Podcast, a world-class broadcast of insight and inspiration with the renowned healer and coach, Suzanne Alexandria. In this series, she dives deep into the magical sea of you, to the place in you that's ready to activate. Tune in live every second and fourth Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Caring for someone with a life-altering diagnosis? You are a care hero. Navigating the unfamiliar options can be overwhelming, but you are not alone. Tune in to A Cup of Comfort with me, Trish Lau, twice monthly on Transformation Talk Radio. Let me guide you through your care hero journey by providing actionable information on how to care for a loved one in need. For more information about me, visit trishlaub.com. That's Trish Laub, L-A-U-B as in boy, .com.
Tune in to the show Heart Change Consciousness with me, Dr. Trish DeRocher, as stories of inspired activism come to life. Listening to conversations with your favorite authors, change makers, and many more who practice inspired spiritual activism and transform vulnerabilities into sources of strength. Let's be inspired together through my show, Heart Change Consciousness, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready to get big and live your life out loud? Tune in to Get Big Out Loud Radio, exploring life through the lens of curiosity and compassion, with me, Carrie Knudsen, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I will offer ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. If you want to get big and live your life out loud, visit me at KnudsenSpeaks.com.
Welcome back to the Dr. Pat Show. I'm honored to be sitting here filling in for Dr. Pat today. Big shoes to fill, so I didn't wear any. I'm in my bare feet. It's Trish McNair, and I'm a host here with Transformation Talk Radio, Divine Guidance with Patricia. I'm sitting here with such a wonderful author, producer, musician. Wow, so many hats you wear. Brian Francis. So before we left the break, you were sharing such a beautiful story of your father and overcoming an illness of TB and using the intellect connected with the heart, and I'm sure the spirit of this being who brought forward so many amazing adventures to all of you 10 kids, wow, growing up. So thank you to him and for all that he's brought forward through you, Brian. So I want to get back to the book a little bit. And the title of the book is Between Two Worlds, and it's Spiritual Writings and Photographs. And you had mentioned in the first segment here how you brought your words and the pictures together to create a dual message. What does the title Between Two Worlds actually mean to you, Brian?
Well, when I decided to write the book and that I would have a book out there, I thought that the title of the book was very important to not only reflect on who I am, but also the world that I live in. And I thought Between Two Worlds fit because being an Indigenous person, coming from an Indigenous community and living in that environment, it felt, when I would leave, it felt that I was entering into another world. We would have to basically almost prepare ourselves to leave home. And try to exist, I guess, in another world. And it was a lot of it was learning to adapt, learning to be able to cope with a lot of the social stigmas that are out there, I guess, and trying to fit in to another world where they spoke a different language. Mm-hmm. They lived a different way. They worshiped a different way. So it was literally going from one world to another. The other component was the fact that living a spiritual way of life based on the teachings that I received throughout my life, and trying to utilize that, trying to live within those teachings in a world that sometimes may not be receptive to or understand some of those ways or some of those teachings that we carry. And that basically was a little bit more difficult, because when the majority out there is not in the same like-mindedness, I guess, with there's a lot of people that are not spiritually in tune. So it's a little bit harder to try to navigate your way, I guess, through conversations, through meetings, through gatherings, through events, through, you know, there's a lot of socializing out there that doesn't coincide with spiritual teachings. So basically, that is another world that I have to navigate and go back and forth, but maintaining my faith, maintaining my teachings, and just basically living life through the teachings that I received in my life, you know. So that was the other component in the title of the book. There's a lot of people out there who are in search of something. A lot of times they don't know what it is. I was in that position for a long time. For a long time, I did not know who I was as a Mi'kmaq person. I did not know how an indigenous person lived. Basically, I didn't know who I was. It wasn't until I started following my traditional way. We refer to it as the Red Road, and there's a couple of excerpts in the book that discuss that. It wasn't until then that I discovered who I was, and then I was able to be proud of who I was, which made it easier for me to exist out there in the wild world.
Would it be fair to say that you were able to bring more of yourself into the other world because you had that connection again?
Once I knew who I was, yes. Once I was able to absorb and I'm going to say rekindle the inherent blood that flowed through me, because it seemed like once I started learning, it was basically an awakening. I felt like I had woken up to who I was, that I was in a dream, and then now I know who I am, and I'm able to live and practice who I am as a Mi'kmaq person. And I think that is probably what keeps me going, what drives me to keep going. I'm always trying to, I do a lot of things like you were saying. Somebody said that, is there anything that you don't know how to do? And I say, well, I know how to do a little bit of everything, just in case I'm good at something.
I like that. I might use that. Let's take that a little deeper if we can, Brian, because there's a lot of people in the world today that are reconnecting this pandemic time, or whatever it is that people want to label it as, is a time to actually reconnect and become aware and become more conscious of who we are. And to take that out there and bring some kindness, compassion, and caring to other beings going through a hard time. So I have been around a few traditional elders in my lifetime. I didn't go seeking it. It come literally slapped me on the back at a booth at a restaurant, and I was off to my first sweat lodge. Had no idea what was going on, but here we go. So the lodge keeper asked me, what do you want to do? I said, I want to take my blanket out of my truck, and I want to go to that hill up there, and I want to sit, and I want to cry, and I want to find out if I'm to do this. Like, you're all telling me I am, but I want to go and sit up there and feel it. So he said, Okay, take, he had some items there in this round thing. I had no idea what was going on, Brian. I had not a clue. And my adopted Cree mom, Rosa Desjardins, she's on my Facebook. If you want to ask her, she'll tell you the story too. She's the one that dragged me out there. And so I said, he said I could take one thing from there. So I took something that looked like a stick, my blanket, and I sat up on this hill. I was 27, 26. And I said, okay, I don't get this, but I'm here again. That's my favorite saying. I don't get this, creator, but I'm here. All right. So walk down to do it. There's a lot of grumbling. Some guys had shorts on. I was in a nightgown. I didn't understand why. Everything was confusing, but it felt right. Right? Like all the other physical things were telling me, oh, be afraid. But my heart, my spirit felt right. So one guy said something, and I said, well, you could have started without me then. And the lodge keeper said, kind of hard to. Can I have the stick, please? And then I had taken the splash stick. So spirit works with us. We don't even have to know. But if we're open and we're real to who we are inside, and let some of the pretenses outside not block us. You know, we kind of look smart sometimes, right? Because I didn't know it was a splash stick, but, you know, that's what I took. So I looked like I knew what I was doing, but I really didn't know anything. So that's how spirit works. So with that, is there, when I was working with people in Australia Aboriginal, there was such a gap between the elders and the next generation down. So for me, when I was getting to know you through online posts and the book, I see that the Mi'kmaq Nation people, there's not that gap between the elders and the next generation down. How have you guys maintained that? How have you been able to reconnect to your spirit and walk the same way as your elders did?
Well, it goes back, I would say, to the beginning of time, I guess. But after when we're in ceremony, when we begin ceremony, just as I did before we started here, because I take it as a ceremony, we summon spirits. We ask the spirits, the ancestors, to come around and guide us and protect us and watch over us. And they're here during the ceremony. And once the ceremony is done, we end the ceremony by saying Umsidnogama, which means all my relations. So you basically acknowledged everyone who down your lineage who has passed on and who is partly in you because of you are who they were. And there is a connection between us and the previous generation and the next generation. And that's the basis of our teaching. That's the basis of the circle of life. When we hand down the teachings, the stories, the prayers, the ceremonies, the songs, are all handed down from ancient times to now. And it's amazing for us to be able to speak our language, the same language that my ancestor spoke 5,000 years ago, 6,000 years ago. When I step outside at nighttime and I talk to the moon and the stars, it's the same moon and stars that my ancestors prayed to and talked to 5,000 years ago. And it's that connection that we have to make. It's that connection that's been made through time. And it's that connection that keeps us in tune and in connection and in unison with nature. So that is the part where a lot of people in society fail to understand and fail to connect. They don't establish that relationship with nature. oftentimes man tries to remove himself from nature, separates himself from nature. And that's a critical mistake because we are part of it. It's like the world does not belong to us. We belong to the world, to the earth. And we have to maintain ourselves and we have to keep our place in that system, in that ecosystem. We are just part of it, a very small part of it.
Very small.
Yeah.
I enjoy those words. I as you mentioned before, live the spirit. And for me, spirituality, and I don't have all the answers or all the memory or all the knowing, that's for sure. Been very blessed to have so many people step forward in my life. I wasn't raised with parents. I was raised in the foster system and didn't know who I was from Martha to Martha to George. But always Creator and Spirit had people step in that I didn't know. And I always saw that as Creator and whoever my ancestors are watching out for me here, and always appreciated that comfort, not knowing I was not alone. If I had Spirit and I had Creator, and I paid attention to the strict people he put on my path to keep me going in the right direction, and actually being grateful for that. So with that, there are a lot of people are becoming more consciously aware of what you stated and of the earth and of the humbleness of being a part of something as opposed to being the leader of everything. So I would like to ask you, does Brian Francis take reaching out to anyone of any culture or any race or any nation? How do you as a man perceive and that going ahead in the future? Because it seems like more people are connecting from different cultures and different races through this spirituality.
Well, I'm a strong believer in that the people that cross our paths are meant to be there. They're meant to cross our paths. Everyone we meet, we may not realize it now. It may be next week. It may be next month. It may be 5 years from now. But there'll be a time when we realize why that person was put in our path. So I also don't believe in going out there and preaching and trying to gather a mass, for instance. I believe that when people ask, and I think that's one thing we don't do enough, is when we ask for guidance, for instance, we ask the ancestors. A lot of people don't ask. You know, and the ancestors are just there waiting for us. So, and I don't profess to know everything. I don't profess to know even what I say is not necessarily right. If I say something that means something to you or that resonates with you, then that's yours. Accept that and leave whatever doesn't. Leave the rest. So going back to your vision quest, I'm going to call that a vision quest, but it's probably a fast. When we go to that ceremony, we sit there, and usually it's for 4 days and four nights with no food, no water. Mm-hmm. You're there alone. And it's really a challenge. It's a personal challenge. And you don't realize that until you come out after 4 days of being with yourself, that you realize how weak we are as human beings and what it took, how difficult it was for us to get through that 4 days. And usually the most difficult part is the third day. Mm. And if you can make that, then you can do anything. But when you reach a point in your life that's difficult, a very difficult time, you're able to go back to that time when you went through that ceremony and what you needed to do to get through that. And if you can get through that, you can get through anything. So those are some of the fundamentals, I guess, of the teachings of our people, but they don't necessarily only apply to us. They apply to anybody. Mm-hmm. See, we are all spiritual people. All of us, all of us have spirit. We just don't tap into it enough. We don't practice enough because the teachings and the lessons are within us.
We have to live it, don't we?
We do have to live it, but we also have to discover it within ourselves, because nothing I say can help you as because you're living your journey. You're living your life. You're following your red road. Mm-hmm. And that's like, your prayers are different than my prayers. So I don't know what it takes for you to go through that.
That's right. Fair enough.
Only you know that. Mm-hmm. So, and that's how that works.
So we can encourage, and we can, I was always told the best way to assist another is to continue to be who you are, right, wrong, or indifferent, until you know the difference. So it comes back to choice. I never was one to think that I was here to save the world. And anyway, who needs to save her? She's beautiful and strong in her own being. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't here to save other people. I'm here to save myself, do what I came here to do, and not back down from doing that. I remember speaking with an uncle one time, and I was so a little bit arrogant at the time because I had found spirituality and I had validated myself for some of the things I knew growing up that nobody showed me, that, you know, I didn't, but I it was validation for me and my heart and how I felt growing up. And so I said, yep, I'm going to listen to spirit. I'm going to do whatever they say, but I want to stay in the background. And I thought, wow, that's being humble. That's being good. And he goes, oh, that's just a load of crap, girl. I said, what? That's a load of crap, he said. I said, what do you mean? He said, so you're going to listen to spirit, but you're going to do it your way. If spirit wants you out there in the middle of the field, go in the middle of the field. If they want you on a stage, go on a stage. If you say you're going to follow spirit, then follow it. And so this is part of my test here, to have my show and to do this. And I'm so happy that they pushed me in this, because I get to share and connect with people like yourself. So I'm amazed at what's being brought forward in and through this. And I'm going to still sit here and be myself as best as I can be and learn and grow and nurture my being so that I can be there to help nurture others. That's the only thing that I know. So what words of wisdom would you give me on that aspect, Brian?
Well, I think you already gave them, is that you have to be yourself. And but there's a lot of times where we don't know who we are as ourselves. And we live through life putting up, what do you call those, shields, I guess. Yeah. Protection barriers. And a lot of times to protect ourselves, it must be a self-defense mechanism, because we may feel attacked by people sometimes. We may feel inferior to people at times. And we may feel insecure and that we don't measure up to society. And we put up these barriers. And a lot of times we live through life with that shell. And we don't truly, we're not truly being ourselves. Until we start removing those layers, until we start opening ourselves up, until we become raw, and that we live and we accept and we hurt and we suffer, and we don't hide it. We openly are vulnerable to what's out there. Only then can we see who we are and what we're made of, and how much we can how much we can take. Mm-hmm. And that gives us the strength. That makes us be able to walk our walk and be able to just pursue our life and our visions and our dreams. Because oftentimes we're living our lives trying to please others, trying not to make waves, trying to live that perfect life that people expect us to live. And a lot of times it's very difficult. For a lot of people, it's very difficult. When you were talking about trying to live your spiritual life and your uncle telling you where and how to do that, I'm going to say clean ourselves, and we find these ways. And I've heard a lot of spiritual people say, you have to respect my ways. Well, I've heard that a lot, but we also have to respect their ways. That person sitting in the corner in the city with no money and is asking for help, he doesn't necessarily want to be there. So we also have to respect his ways, where he is and what brought him there. We can't immediately make judgment and put that person down. Same with the alcoholic down that's staggering down the road. We can't judge him, because we have to respect his ways as well, because those are his ways. He is not necessarily in the same level of spirit as we are. He may get there eventually, but we help. In the meantime, we help them. And we share kindness, and we share love and compassion with these people. Because I always believe that the last thing a person possesses or loses is their integrity. And we have to maintain that. We have to give them that dignity, no matter who they are, because they're human beings just like us. You know, we have to honor that, and we have to honor that person, because we're not all the same.
Yes, the basic human spirit and connection and oneness has to be rebuilt as a foundation on this planet. No one's above or below. We don't know. That person on the street may have had a huge spirit and had a breakdown, may have more knowledge about spirit and life than what I could ever have in my baby finger. So I kind of always, those words are hitting me. So thank you for sharing them. They're beautiful and they're strong. And the idea right now with everything going on in the world, I've been around a few people who are just warriors, and they're this and they're that, and they're so angry about what's going on, and they're here to protect everybody and stop this and do this. And it's taken a long time and a lot of years to learn temperance and to know that gentleness is a strength that I never ever knew while I was trying to be so noticeable and so hard. And it's amazing, because your energy and how you share reminds me of that lesson, just with what you share. What would you give to your community, my community, a community in England? What would you give them, if you could, from your being, in your words, at this time, to help us through this amazing, amazing step that this planet and everything upon her is going through?
Well, one thing I think we need to do is understand. We have to set aside ego. Because ego is one of the greatest barriers that a person can, it's almost like a concrete wall, because you cannot reach another person to embrace them, and they cannot reach you to embrace you. And that connection, it doesn't happen when we are full of ego, because ego prevents us from I guess lowering ourselves, because when we have ego, we place ourselves higher than anybody else. In our community, in our culture, we believe in the circle of life where everyone is equal. We are all equal. No one's any higher, no one's any lower. We walk side by side. And that circle of life is the handing down, and the it's life. It's how we realize that how precious life is, and how beautiful people are. Because if you don't see them, you know, you're not going to see their beauty. And oftentimes our differences is what makes the world a beautiful place. When we honor and we see and we honor and respect those differences, I think that's when we truly become a community. And we have our differences, yes. We identify those differences and we live with those differences. But we also live together as human beings. And I think that's very important. Once we start thinking in a like-mindedness way, we begin to understand one another, you know, and we're all the same. We're all going to the same place once we're done here. And a lot of us have believed that we are going to another world, and we're just being prepared for that, because we've been here before. We've also had previous lives, and we're off to another destination. It's eternal light.
Yeah, I always thought the human race was very egotistical, to think that Creator made something for 70 years and then it was gone. Like, that just blew my mind when I was even little. Like, okay, people live for, well, back then it was 90, 100. And that's it? How can that be? So that question is something that I've always kept. We're coming to the end of the show, and like always, we've got a few more minutes, but wow, time does fly when you're just sitting, sharing, and connecting. And you're drinking coffee, and I have my water. And I think that we need to go about the book again, and where, if you would like to tell people where they can get it. I could do that, but I think it's more powerful coming from you, and the availability. And then I would like to tap back into how I would like to have the show end today.
Okay, well, because of the pandemic, I was not really able to go out to have a traditional book launch and go to bookstores and have book signings and what have you. So what I basically had to do is I've sold them through e-transfers, where they send money and they send them the book and plus shipping. Recently, we've established a Shopify store, and it's basically a store for the book, so they can go Shopify. I think it's Brian_J_Francis. At Shopify. The address is above my Facebook name, below my Facebook name, and Instagram. But also recently it's been made available through Amazon, but through a third party, I guess.
Okay.
So it would be available through Amazon, but the shipping cost is what really, it's really crazy. Like I really don't want anybody to pay that much for my book, but the book is $35 itself plus shipping. So depending on where you are, most places in the US have been, I think it's $20 to ship anywhere in the States pretty much. So wow. You can take that into consideration.
Well, it's well worth it. It's a beautiful book. And it talks volumes. You know, they say art is in the eye of the beholder. Well, as somebody who doesn't know a lot about art, looking at this book, I'm kind of hoping that some of your own personal artwork can be put into a book in the future. There's a thought. So as we tie up the end of the show, Brian, I can't thank you enough for being here and sharing your time and space with us. Dr. Pat, thank you so much for allowing me to host this show today. All the listeners, thank you so much for taking the time to be here with us. And you can reach Brian at bearpawmusic at hotmail.com. That's bearpawmusic at hotmail.com. So if you didn't get all the information on where to get the book, just drop him an email and I'm sure he'll be able to lead you in the right direction. What I would like to do, Brian, and I would like to kind of put you on the spot, and if you could say a word in your language to bring this show to an end, I would be very honored.
I would be honored. Walaliya kiso tandama walaliya kisku. Walaliya tandaliya bonuya. Walaliya tandaliya gidumuya gulusuwa. That's who doesn't need a kisku. Walaliya tandaliya kweuya. Walaliya tandal. Maunia go sit amoga mudia. Seria kweuinen. Mogigine would you get a winen. A bottom body of chuga get a winen. At the moment, excel like Dinna koi. When she got jigladu, bonit by to regard a mam salalu. I'm said Nogama.
Thank you, Brian Francis, and hopefully we will talk again. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you on Divine Guidance with Patricia every first and third Wednesday of the month. Thank you so much for being here.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.